Hello and welcome to The Indoorsman, your podcast guide to the great indoors. I am your host, Matt.
And I'm Cliff.
And it is a rainy day here in Melbourne.
It's a rainy day here in Adelaide too.
Oh. So we apologise for any Foley work you hear in the background of drip, drip, drops of raindrops or clink, clank, broom of fucking trucks driving behind my head.
Or which keeps happening. Singing and dancing around light posts.
Yes, that is also an opportunity for disruption. But hopefully these problems won't be occurring any more soon, because, hey, Cliff, guess what? I'm moving.
Hooray! I don't really care, I guess, except for the fact that you'll have better internet.
Yes.
And I know this because I looked at it for you today.
NBN. Finally. After all those years of connecting it for other people, I get to have it for myself. And it's not even one of the really bad ones.
No, so it's like the good one.
It's the good one. It's OG NBN.
Mm-hmm.
Which I will pay for through the nose.
But worth hurry. It.
Yeah. I can't wait to download things quickly and also have the Wi-Fi work in my room 10 meters away from the router.
Hooray!
Which would be really, really, really nice. Yeah, I'm moving. It's exciting. Probably won't interfere with our recording schedule any more than real life already does. But we'll see. I'm also moving during PAX, so that's going to be fun.
I think by fun you mean suck like really nasty sweaty balls.
Yeah, possibly. I guess I'll find out. yeah, also, did you know PAX is in like 2 weeks?
It sure is. And I managed to talk my mate into buying a Saturday pass so he gets to come to a computer game convention for the first time.
Nerd convention. That's nice. So he's never been to anything?
No.
First time for everything. That's good. Yeah, I forgot it was 2 weeks away because it's always been, you know, the end of October. That's forever away, but it's the middle of October already.
Uh-huh. Turns out the end of October, not so far away.
Yeah, weird. And also bringing us into, like, game release explosion times.
So I will leave my house at 8:55 on Friday the 26th of October, and I will walk to JB Hi-Fi, which is like 5 minutes away. Yep. I will get my Red Dead Redemption 2 copy, and I'll walk home, and I'll instantly start the massive like 85 fucking gig install / download.
Yeah, I was reading about that. Jesus.
Which means I'm actually going out for lunch that day too.
No, you're not.
Well, I know I am. And then I'm getting on a plane to fly to Melbourne to go to PAX that afternoon. So I'm not really going to be playing it until Monday afternoon, because I'm not going to be able to play it at like 10 o'clock on a Sunday night after I've been at PAX all weekend. So
see, this is one of the great advantages for me, because when I realized that the release date of Red Dead Redemption 2 lined up with the release of PAX 2018... my immediate thought, having traveled into state every year previously, was, oh, fuck, I'm not going to get to play it. Which has happened with a couple of games. I think it was an Assassin's Creed one time.
I think last year was the last year session, Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I think so. Which was always a bummer. But now it's like, each day at the end of the convention, I'm just going to go home and I'm going to play video games. I'll probably hang out with you.
Friends.
Yeah, I'll probably hang out with you guys. Maybe. You know.
And my Melbourne friend, that's not you. I'll be
too busy being snobby about coffee and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it is true. You're a massive, like, Melbourne hipster douche now.
Thank you. You don't know how much that means to me. I'm just looking at the release list. Like, honestly, it's not as packed as I thought it was.
No, it's the game after that I'm then going to be snapping up is Hitman 2. I'll be getting that on launch. Possibly beforehand, because I can get a 4-day. If I buy the gold version, which I'm not sure I want to splurge on yet. If I get that, I can play 4 days early.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of that model. They did that with something that came out recently that I was really keen to play. A video game?
It's only the gold edition, though.
Tomb Raider.
Which is the like most expensive collector's.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Shadow of the Tomb Raider had a similar thing where if you bought the Croft edition, you got 4 days early access or something, which is dumb.
Yeah, I mean, if I can't find it cheap somewhere, I won't.
Yeah.
Because, fuck, I'm not paying an extra $40 or something on an edition just to play 4 days early.
I mean, maybe you'll buy
$20
to get
the DLC instead.
Yeah.
I mean, you get all the DLC, all the expansions with it, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's Red Dead, next week. Luigi's Mansion, the original one re-release, is this week, which I'm actually pretty keen for because I didn't have a GameCube, so I never got to play the original. And I liked the sequel they made for 3DS. And they're doing a third one for Switch next year. So it'll be nice to kind of have the opportunity to play all of them. Because it's a short game, but they were kind of fun. Fun little puzzle.
Ramp up for, I bet you, before the third one releases, the second one releases on a port for Switch. Just so you can buy all of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's a possibility, but who knows? So there's those.
Fallout 76 is out in this-ish time of the year sometime.
Pretty much a month from now, the middle of November.
So that's the same time as Hitman 2, yeah.
Yeah, and a day after Spyro Reignited, hooray, and 2 days before Pokemon Let's Go, which, yeah, I'm actually kind of keen for that now. Like, the more footage I see of it, there's preview coverage coming out for it now saying that it's kind of like an easy version of the original games, which in a way is kind of cool because it's a very chill experience that way. Like, I like the idea of just sort of...
original games are already fucking easy.
Yeah, I think it's mainly because you don't have the wild Pokemon battles anymore. You just throw balls at them like Pokemon Go. The battles for gyms and stuff and trainers are still battles, but it means that you're not sort of getting stuck in random battles if you don't want to because they're visible on the overworld and all that kind of stuff.
I still kind of want the battling, though.
Yeah, I'm assuming they'll have something where you can just generate random battles because they kind of need it. Otherwise, there's only a finite number of fights you'll ever be able to have unless they do something like Gold and Silver where you could reactivate trainers to fight them again.
But even so, that's an annoying thing you have to reactivate. You just want to be able to run around in a thing while watching television and just your thumb round and round and round in circles where you just on the spot until you encounter something. That's a bit weird.
Yeah, I've been trying to play Pokemon Go in the last 2 weeks or so just to kind of catch up with the mechanics and stuff because it's obviously been updated a bunch since I last played it.
I like the actual throwing the Pokeball bit. That's cool.
That's fun.
I want to still battle it until it's almost dead and bleeding first. At least distract it, have a dance off or something. I don't know. Just something actually engages you.
Mm.
Especially if you can see them in the overworld, then you know that there's an encounter. You can at least, if you want to encounter it, you can go out and battle. If not, you can just run away.
Yeah. I did like that in the footage. I don't think they'd actually showed it in any of the previous little trailers or anything, but you know, your Eevee or your Pikachu sits on your shoulder or follows behind you. And when you start a battle with them, instead of throwing a Pokeball, they just sort of run from one shoulder to the other and then bounce off your arm to jump onto the field, which is adorable. And I can't wait for my Eevee to do that because fuck Pikachu.
And it reminds me of the picture, the Ash's buff picture where he's holding his arm out and he's got a bird Pokemon on his arm. It's like, that's a 16 kilogram bird sitting on this 10-year-old's arm.
We try not to think too much about Pokemon sizes and weights because otherwise it gets very confusing.
Just remember, Scyther can't fly, even though it's got giant wings and can fly. Yeah,
that's important. So I'm keen for that. There's lots of video games coming out soon. Not as many as I expected, but kind of works out for me because money. Sometimes I like to eat food or get tattooed.
I hope that they're not, that people are learning, or publishers are learning and not bring everything out within a month or two this time of year. Just spread it out. Give us something in the middle of winter because we don't want to go outside in the middle of winter.
It's true. I mean, I think that I've seen more and more stories over the last couple of years of game releases being delayed or brought forward so that they don't have to directly compete with another title, which, you know, is partially saving your own skin so you don't lose sales to a potentially bigger or wider market game. But it also helps me pace my life out a bit better because I remember weeks, you know, in my early mid-20s when there'd be two or three games come out in the space of a week of each other and I would just be paralyzed with the need to play all of them.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then, you know, a couple of them come out and you're a, you know, 20-something bum with no money and it's all of a sudden I want to play everything, but I can only afford to not die and play one.
Yeah. And, you know, I'd go out there and sell my body on a street corner, but every minute I'm standing on that street corner is a minute I'm not playing my new video game.
Well, I mean, you could be playing your Switch now.
That's true, actually. Thank you, Cliff, for making prostitution a viable option.
Hey, It's what Nintendo's there for. It's to help you out. Kids, get on it.
Oh, wow. They're one of our nicest partners. Let's not say these nice, awful things about them. Shall we move on, Cliff? Mm-hmm. Let's start with the news today, because we usually do what we're playing first, mm-hmm. and it takes forever. Mm-hmm. So let's rattle off some news. Mm-hmm. Not a heap, honestly. It's kind of one of those weird lulls again, so it's just lots of little bits and pieces. Let's do the comic stuff first. So, firstly, on the DC side, last week we had the reveal of Ruby Rose's Batwoman costume,
mm-hmm.
who will be appearing in a crossovery event, multi-episode thing for the Arrowverse, and then reportedly getting her own show, which started off as kind of a question mark, but seems to have solidified. Have you seen the costume?
It looks great. The costume looks great. Don't like Ruby Rose.
Most of it looks great. I think the logo looks awesome. The fact that they can use the Bat logo without any kind of weird alterations to make it work in their universe. The wig is great. The mask is great. The cape looks shitty.
It's got a weird pattern on it.
It's also really thin. I think it's partly a problem with the promo shot they took, because obviously, you know, they do the green screen thing and then drop a background in behind. But her cape looks very thin and see-through, because there's obviously light from behind it. It doesn't look like it'd be able to support her. Also, it's not long enough. Batwoman has a long cape. Batgirl has a short cape, because it's flair as opposed to function, which kind of annoys me. Also, she's just wearing basically a morph suit. It's not armored or detailed or anything the way that most of the Arrowverse heroes, even the female heroes, are. So it just looks like a kink outfit instead of something that would be functional for fighting crime. She also doesn't have enough utility pockets. It's like three of them, and I'm very annoyed. But if they make her super pale and she has, like, you know, the edgy short haircut, like, I think she actually has a buzz cut in the comics at the moment. It could work. Obviously, we haven't seen any footage or even seen her in motion in a costume yet. But
I think the costume, well, you have to kind of... It's hard to tell just from one, like, promo shot, because they doctor the shit out of those promo shots.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
So once we actually see her, like, there and in it and moving in it, I think we'll... think. But the cape does look weird, but I think it's just a trick of how it's rendered in it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I honestly, like, a cape seems like a difficult thing to make look cool.
Mm-hmm.
They did pretty well with Supergirl's. Hers is, like a heavy plasticky looking material, which I think helps.
Almost like a pleather or something almost.
Yeah. It's got weight, so it's not fluttering about when they're doing location shooting and stuff. But then,
I mean, she's Supergirl. She can carry that extra thick weight of a...
Yeah, exactly.
...of a thing. Yeah. I like the outfit in general. I'm not a fan of Ruby Rose because she's not... I'm not expecting to see Batwoman on screen. I'm expecting to see Ruby Rose dressed in Batwoman on screen. Like, she plays the same, like, girl with attitude in, like, every single thing she's in.
Has she ever done an American accent before?
I don't know.
Did she do it in Pitch Perfect, or was she Australian in that?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
But, like, her best role that I liked her in was John Wick 2, and she didn't say a bloody word.
Oh, that probably helped.
She was a silent assassin.
Excellent.
She has that, like, Ruby Rose attitude with all of her characters, and it just, it's like, that's fine, but I'm just tired of seeing it every single time she shows up in something.
And I do like how we've all just sort of swept under the rug that she started her career as an MTV VJ. So, but now she's a serious actress.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Batwoman, cool. It's coming next year. We'll see.
I'll watch the crossovers because they're always good.
Yeah, I have to catch up on literally every series. Also, like, Flash is back now and I haven't even watched it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only one I'm up to date on. So,
turns out you're not up to date on it.
Yeah, not anymore. Whoops. What I am up to date on is the new series of Doctor Who.
Yay.
With the female Doctor played by Jodie Whittaker. It is real good.
I have not watched Doctor Who for about 5 seasons.
This might be a good jumping in spot. They've definitely shaken the formula up a bit. It feels a lot more cinematic, partly because they've started using cinematic cameras.
Mm-hmm.
It gives it a different feel. The cinematography seems more creative.
They've basically, like, cleaned out everyone and like redone everything, haven't they?
The lead, the supporting cast, the music, executive producers, showrunners, everyone has pretty much changed over at the same time. So they've just said...
Soft reboot, basically.
Yeah, they're giving everything. And let's not beat around the bush. Like, having a female lead in the show gives it the opportunity to have a much different tone to a male lead. And they're taking advantage of it. She has emotions, and she feels them sometimes.
Hey, D10 had emotions.
He had one emotion, and it was sad.
But boy, was it a good emotion.
Yeah, he was real good at it.
Yeah.
I was watching Doctor Who clips on YouTube today, and yeah. There was some good stuff, there was some bad stuff. But yeah, no, she's got a new screwdriver, she's got a new TARDIS, which looks fucking wicked. It's all techno-organic, like it looks alive, for realsies. And yeah, I'm really enjoying it. It's legitimately good. I know everyone was like, they're going to ruin it. No, it's good. I like it.
I'm just bummed in the same way I've been bummed with like the last ex-Doctors, that it's not Rupert Grint.
There's still time. Like the final episode, they will regenerate into Rupert Grint. And then
it'll be like, yeah, I'm a ginger. Forever. And it's over. Cancelled forever.
Just immediate cut to black.
Yeah. I think it'd be a fun young Doctor. Like a silly Doctor. Yeah. I think it'd be fun. Kind of almost like a bumbling Doctor. You could have a weird, like, Unco ginger Doctor. I think it'd be funny.
There's an opportunity there. Yeah. But for now, Jodie seems to have a lot of cool energy. And I like it. Also, they've got more than one companion again. Which they haven't done for a while. And it's nice
because you get an ensemble feel. And it's not Sparrow Nightingale, is it?
No, it's not.
Oh, so that's the other thing I'm bummed about.
It's
forever bummed.
It's a young guy of African descent, a young Indian woman, and an older white man.
Sure.
Who's some famous British comedian that I don't recognize. I don't know.
I'm going to have to look now and try and find out who this is.
Yes. He's playing a character called Graham.
I know that there's... Like the cast is like Lee Mack apparently is going to be in it.
Yeah, I saw him in a preview thing where it was like a coming up on Doctor Who, but less about the plot and more just about all the guest stars.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are obviously British household names, so I had no clue who they were. But then Lee Mack popped up and I was like, oh, I know that one.
Here we go.
Excellent audio.
Well, I mean, this is why you do editing, right?
I choose not to edit.
It doesn't have it on this page. What the hell, Wikipedia?
That's no good. But yeah, whoever he is, British people know him and were like happy because he'd quit acting or something. And now he's back.
Right. I want to know who the other ones are.
Yeah.
It's going to piss me off. No, we can't move along. It's going to piss me off.
Clifford.
No.
Why are you like this?
Companion. Nope.
You're bad at
what
are Doctor
we at? What, 13th Doctor now or 12th?
I guess she's the 13th Doctor, the way that they're counting it.
Something.
Something, something,
unlucky
something.
Unlucky stroke or some such.
Bradley Walsh. There you go.
Bradley Walsh, huh?
Bradley Walsh. He's an English actor, comedian, singer, television presenter, and former professional footballer. He played Danny Baldwin in Coronation Street and a lead role in Law & Order UK and a bunch of other stuff that I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that guy. I've seen him around a bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's in the show. And so far, he seems acceptable. Doctor Who. I like it again. Mm-hmm. I didn't like it for a little bit, and now I like it again.
And now you have my permission to move on to the next one.
Also, she has a strong hipster lesbian vibe. It's fantastic. Next up in comics news, Iron Fist got cancelled.
But there's a but.
There's always a but.
So have you looked into it much?
Not really.
So the story goes apparently that Marvel wants to keep going with it, or wanted to keep going, but Netflix didn't.
Fair.
But it's interesting because Disney's got this shiny new like streaming service that's coming up. So they might just do it themselves and just put it on
possibly.
There. Possibly. Because they said that Iron Fist isn't gone. Like, he'll be back. So,
yeah. I mean, I'm still hoping for a Power Man and Iron Fist / Heroes for Hire series.
But that would be good. You haven't got to the end of Iron Fist season 2 yet, have you?
No, I haven't.
See, this cancellation thing, my first thought was, well, that's a big fuck you.
Because, okay, so it's a cliffhanger of some sort.
Oh, yeah, like a massive, like, well, I have to see more of that now. Like, how can you not show me more of that?
Okay, okay.
Like, some shit goes down. I think you'd be happy.
All right, well, yeah, I think I'm only like 4 episodes in, but we'll get there eventually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's cancelled, but apparently coming back in some way.
Yeah.
The problem is Netflix doesn't release any kind of viewer statistics, so we have no idea if the show did well, did badly. The critical reception seemed to be better for the second season because they retooled a lot of what made the first season terrible. But that's it.
It definitely is a show that's got first season stink on it.
Oh, yeah.
But they've bathed pretty well.
Yeah. Also, season 3 of Daredevil is coming up in like a week or a couple days.
This Friday, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, previews have all said it's pretty good. It's back to form from the first season.
Bullseye, apparently. Is it Bullseye?
Yeah, Bullseye's in there. And none of the kind of boring hand stuff that dragged down the second season.
I mean, they're thoroughly defeated now, so...
Mm-hmm. So that's coming up. Also coming up that I'm actually getting pretty excited about is, I don't know if we talked about this in the previous episode, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Oh, yeah, I want to give that a look in because it looks weird and creepy and shit.
It's dark as shit looking.
And watching the original, like the Sabrina the Teenage Witch with Melissa Joan Hart, I want to say.
Yes.
Yeah, this looks way different. So I just kind of want to see how this goes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's based on this like alt universe comics line that Archie did.
Yeah, it's like Archie, the darkest timeline.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So yeah, they've leaned into the occult stuff a lot more for this Sabrina. Still the key players, Sabrina, Harvey, Salem, the two aunts, Hilda and Zelda. But very different takes on all of it. I saw a clip today, actually, which was her meeting Salem for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
She finds scratch marks and a window pulled open, and then there's a voice talking to her, and you see this long-fingered monster thing sort of peering around from behind her furniture, and then it ducks away and out comes a little cat. So I don't know how they're spinning that particular story, but
maybe they're going with maybe he still is the comic relief
maybe
for it. We'll and see. It's just like a way to kind of I guess disarm
yeah, the
super creepiness they're going with in fun ways.
Yeah. The only thing that bums me out is that they're releasing it on October 26th, not October 31st, Halloween. How could you not?
Yeah, but TV shows have a tendency to to do that.
But come out on Halloween. Fridays. It's a streaming show. It's dropping all at once. Just do it.
But that's the Halloween weekend, though. That's why.
Yeah, but I want it on Halloween.
First of all, in America, that is Halloween.
Yeah.
Because it's the weekend. That's when everyone can dress up all slutty and do stuff.
It's true. That is what Halloween is for.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'll watch it when it comes out. I'm burning through some of my back catalogue on Netflix, so I need to stack it up with new shows again. I only have like 30 things to get through at this point. Only. What else has been going on? People are... Oh, okay. Simultaneously, there's a good thing and a bad thing happening with PlayStation 4.
Mm-hmm.
The bad thing is they found a new exploit, so you can get a message from a random which has some sort of code into it that crashes and bricks your system, which
is a shitty thing to do. Very reminiscent of the Apple message.
Yeah, pretty much the same thing. Just
can't deal, freaks out, boom.
Yeah. So, pro tip, if you're a PlayStation user... Switch off the ability for messages from non-friends to come through, because if you let them come through, you might be fucked. So don't do that.
I'm assuming that Sony's going to be in some way kissing people's asses that this did happen to, because they're kind of responsible for that if that's their software.
Yeah. Hopefully no one's lost anything, you know, with cloud saves and all that being a thing. Nothing too dramatic, but...
I mean, having your Xbox bricked and then not being able to use it, it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. The good news, though, is that apparently, finally, after 4 generations of consoles, PSN users might be able to change their IDs soon.
Yay.
Which has been an ongoing request / demand from PlayStation users. That So it'll have a cost, which I think Xbox does as well. There's like a fee for getting your name changed. So with the PSN, the first change will be free of charge, and changes after that will cost, I think, like $10 US. Or $5 if you're a PlayStation Plus subscriber. So that's kind of nice that you get a discount there.
I mean, finally, like, adults everywhere will be able to change that name that they did when they were like 13. They're like, hee hee, donkey dick.
Dank weird, comma, or underscore 69 underscore 420.
Yeah. It'll be, you might see some actual adult names in there now.
Yeah, maybe. Mm. And yeah, from the sounds of it, like, it won't be a thing where you've got to go to the website or contact customer support. You'll just be able to do it from the settings menu, which is wicked.
Which there's no reason why it should go anywhere except settings. It's all is just database
updating. Yeah, exactly. Because I'm pretty sure with Xbox, you have to submit a form or something.
Probably, yeah.
I think I looked into it once when the last time people were making a stink about, like, big changes to the operating system of PlayStation not allowing name changes. I was like, how easy is it for Xbox? It's like, oh, it's pretty easy, but they're still like, it's not an in-system thing. Which could have changed since then. This was like 4, 5, 6 years ago. Who knows? Yeah,
it's probably streamlined a bit more now.
Yeah.
They probably have a better vetting system for, like, stupid usernames.
Yeah. Honestly, it doesn't really matter to me because I forward thought with my username and chose something that was not terrible. And I have no need to change it.
Yeah, I'm okay with my deal. So, yeah.
What else? Some little bits and pieces. Stardew Valley is coming to mobiles, iOS and Android, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of game to pack onto your phone.
Mm-hmm.
So for anyone who doesn't already own it like 2 or 3 times over, now's your time. I think they're doing a preview on iOS.
Depending on how much it costs, I might pick it up for my tablet, maybe.
That's fair. I mean, it would be fun to play on a tablet, actually, yeah. That's kind of why I like playing it on Switch, because it's essentially a tablet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's cool. The other one is to do with Pokemon. So Pokemon Let's Go Eevee and Pikachu is coming up early next month. And they've been teasing, saying that there's a connectivity thing between Pokemon Go and Pokemon Let's Go, and it'll involve a new unrevealed Pokemon, and they've revealed it. It is Meltan, which was the little ditto nut-headed thing we were talking about last episode. It's been detailed a bit more, and given its official name, and apparently it'll have some form of evolution, because they teased that as well. A bunch of them goop together and turn into something that you only saw the shadow of. So that's cool. I don't know if it's a good Pokemon. It looks dumb.
Yeah, I mean, who knows these days? Flip a coin, could be good, could be junk.
Yeah. I mean, I like Klefki, so I really don't have any standard to
work. I use Klefki in my lineup, so.
Me too. Yeah. I finished Oris with a Klefki, I think. Yeah. So yeah, Meltan's a thing. I've been trying to play Pokemon Go, and I'm not very good at it. They added all this stuff, like, you've got the missions you can do and stuff, and one of the challenges in the last set was, like, throw, like, 10 great scored curveballs. I'm like, how the fuck do you throw a curveball?
You're like,
I was like trying to flick it in an arc. It doesn't work. Turns out you've got to pick up the Pokeball, spin your finger, and then flick it. And it's really hard. And I hate it. And I'll never finish these challenges because I can barely hit the Pokemon, let alone get a great score. It's tough being me. That's about all I've got, though.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you've got any news to add this week.
I do. You don't care about it at all, but they're making a Big Bash cricket game.
Don't care.
The same guys that have done Bradman Cricket and Ashes. So I would love to play it, but it's going to cost $1 billion.
Because it's a niche game.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
$1 billion.
$1 billion. Well, that's unfortunate for you, but fortunate for me, because, as previously mentioned, do not care.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I do care about, Cliff?
What's that?
What have you been playing lately?
I finished the Spider-Mans.
Nice.
Yep. For all of its like little niggling, like all the niggling bullshit that happens throughout the game, and there's a bunch of it, and it's especially frustrating when you get a bunch of them happen kind of in a row in a short period of time, and it just makes you want to like throw the controller because it can be pretty bad. Great game. Yeah. Great game.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with it, to be honest. Yeah. I'm looking forward to the DLC dropping, I think, next month for the first episode.
Oh, nice.
So I'm going to circle back to that.
Mm-hmm. I'll probably grab it once my mate has finished playing it and grab his PlayStation back and play it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was good. I was, what did disappoint me though is that the end battle is that it's just this more of the same shit.
Yeah.
Like it's just it looks the visuals in the last battle are amazing. When you're on the side of the building, I don't think that gives anything away too much, but you're on the side of the building at one point.
You're on the side of a building kind of a couple times in that game.
But like it looks phenomenal. Like it looks brilliant. And then it's like button, 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 does the same move, wait for a little bit, button, button, button. There's nothing different about it. They just made the same things and threw it in and over it. And that was just disappointing. But the rest of it, like there's a bit of resolution that kind of happens between Spidey and bad guy, which I won't name, but that is all great. Like that's phenomenal. The fighting in it is just a bit like, oh, this is just the same shit I've been doing nonstop for the entire game.
Yeah. In retrospect, the boss battles, while they were kind of cool set pieces, they're all very samey in what you actually had to do.
That aspect of it was kind of boring. The only ones that was a bit different was Vulture and
Rhino.
Vulture and Shocker.
Oh,
it was basically all in the air, which I fucking hated because they're moving so quick and you would like fight. So you fight Vulture and you got to throw his like these feather things he shoots at. You throw them back at him. So you do that and you're going through the animation. And meanwhile, Shocker's setting off a bunch of like electricity shit and you're in the middle of it. As soon as you come out of your animation that's preset, insta kill. Like, well, fuck you, game. Yeah, fuck you.
Not ideal.
No. But it was cool, like, having a whole fight in the air. It's just shit like that where you can't help but get hit by stuff. That was annoying. Okay, so yeah, Spidey, great game. The only other thing that really niggled the shit out of me was sometimes it was really tough to target, like, certain ledges and stuff to actually do things quickly. The Taskmaster shit was like, a lot of it for timing relied on being able to do stuff quickly and simply and fluidly. And it's just sometimes you're pointing at a ledge you want to go to and you're like spamming the buttons like in anticipation of doing it and it just never shows up. And he's like, oh, and I've just fallen to the ground and I might as well just restart. But you can't just quick restart. Fuck no. Why would you want to do that on a challenge thing like that? That's frustrating and you need to do it all the time. No, you got to wait like 20 seconds for it to get out of range and then count the timer down and then finish.
Yeah.
That was my other end of the thing. So hopefully they take all that niggling bullshit, just make the exact same, use the exact same game, fix that niggling shit. Spidey 2 will be amazing.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Love your work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you're able to pick up a PlayStation controller without your hands burning.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it's fine. It's not the Antichrist. It's just I don't want to buy two consoles.
You picked the worst one.
Hey, nothing wrong with Xbox. It's just there's no like exclusives on it.
Nothing at all. Cool. Anything else you've been playing or just finished Spidey?
Oh, I finished The Gardens Between.
I think I'm on the last puzzle.
Is it?
I was actually playing it before we recorded today.
The Spire? The big central Spire? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's good. There's some really like cool little things that pop up. The Last Spire isn't particularly tough, but then it's kind of more of a summary Spire of the other levels as you go up. It does have an ending, and the ending is not what I kind of expected as to what the deal is.
Okay.
But I won't spoil that too much because it's still a very like, oh yeah, that's why we're here kind of deal.
I'll have to finish it off tonight, I think.
Mm, it's good.
Nice. Well, I've been playing a few things, Gardens Between, as of today. I actually went back to a game that I'd kind of let fall by the wayside. Vampire, however you meant to say it. The RPG by Don't Nod, who did Remember Me and the other one. You know, their other game. Life is Strange? Were they Life is Strange? Or is that Deck Nine? I don't know. They've done other games. They'd not done an RPG before. I didn't like it when it came out because the story was cool. The setting was interesting. The combat was shitty and hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just really punishing and, like, unfun.
Just, like, massive, like, kind of learning curve to get to be good at it, or...?
More just that, like, you never seemed to do that much damage, but the enemies did.
And you
did have ways to heal, but they weren't very fast.
It sounds almost like a Dark Souls. Like, you have to, like, know exactly how to do it and be patient.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're fucked.
It was Dark Souls-y in that... you could die, but not because it was well designed.
Yeah.
So in a recent update, they added difficulty levels for the game. What was the only option you had currently became normal mode. Then they added a hard mode where you did less damage, got less XP, and the enemies hit harder for whoever the fuck likes that kind of stuff. And then a story mode.
People that like Dark Souls and are freaks.
Gross.
Yeah.
But story mode, your damage is ramped up, enemies' damage is ramped down, and you get more experience or something. But basically, it's the story mode, so it's you can kind of breeze through combat without worrying. Like, in normal mode, when I started, I was getting obliterated by enemies that were a lower level than me. And in this, I was level 9 at one point, and I very easily took out a level 20 enemy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, yeah, cool. I can actually enjoy this game now. And it turns out the story is really good. I think I'm in the end stretch now. I mean, it's not a perfect game by any means, but I'm enjoying it. Don't know if I need a sequel, but yeah, it's kind of cool. So I've been playing that.
Speaking of difficulty levels, is it Tomb Raider that has a bunch of like difficulty settings for like different kinds of shit? That is a cool idea.
Yes.
More games need that.
Shadow of the Tomb Raider. I don't know if I even brought this up when we were talking about it, but it does have customizable difficulty in that you can customize stealth aspects, combat aspects, your health, all these different things puzzles, in different ratios.
You can like auto solve puzzles and stuff.
You can make the puzzles easier or make Lara give you more hints. Because when you engage your, I don't even know what they call it, basically like your eagle vision mode, like in Assassin's Creed games, she'll usually say a line that's a hint. And the hints can either be vague, specific, or basically explicit. So
press this button, then this button, then this button, and you win.
Exactly. Which honestly I could have used in a couple of puzzles because they did stump me a little bit. But
games like that where there are puzzles, there's always a couple that just... Like you play three others and you're like, okay, cool. I can see the leap from here to here to here.
Yeah.
And then there's always some puzzle that's just like, why the fuck would anyone go like sideways, backwards, up through that tunnel, back down through the thing to get to here? It's like, why would that be a thing?
Yeah. It's those moments when you realize you have been able to find a common thread in the different puzzles, but you've actually been viewing it at an angle different to how the designers viewed it. They just coincidentally worked so far.
Mm.
The Witness
was... did that a lot as well. Like I've got a handle on this. I know exactly how it works. I have no idea what's going on when you get to the next puzzle.
Yeah, no, I have not finished that game and I never will because basically I'd be sitting there copying solutions from the internet onto the game.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, could be nice just to officially cross it off, but
I think some point, like I'll play it again, go through as much as I possibly can and then just once I'm stumped to go, that's it. I'm just gonna get the walkthrough and go through just to finish it off and see how it ends.
I think I was pretty much at that point when... Yeah. I stopped playing the game, but it was still fairly freshly released, so there weren't enough solutions out there to the point where I was stuck at. The one other thing I have been playing recently, on the weekend, I DM'd a Dungeons & Dragons game for the first time.
Ooh.
Yeah. It was terrifying. I ran a pre-built one-shot, by the Dragon Friends team. A very excellent comedy podcast that everyone should be listening to.
That I'm hoping we actually get to catch at PAX this year.
Yes, I definitely will be seeing them live at PAX. I'm so happy that they're back. Because I love them all so much. So I ran this one shot that they built, sort of set in their version of the Dungeons & Dragons world. It was a lot of fun. I had to create some stuff on the fly, which was kind of a fun challenge. Because the game is built for sort of beginning characters and our lot is at level 5 because we've only had 3 sessions or 4 sessions and somehow we're level 5 because the DM forgot that XP is pooled and shared, not everyone gets
1,000. That's 1,000 total for everyone. Yeah.
So we've kind of scooted forwards a bit, which I'm fine with. But yeah, I ran a game and I didn't just run a game. I ran a game while sitting outside. I am very pale and this was a dangerous activity. And after only sleeping for like 2.5 hours after being out all night.
I went to bed. A lot of good work gets done after long nights out and not a lot of sleep.
Yeah, I went to bed at 7:30 a.m., got up at like 11, drove to a place that was an hour away and then ran a game. And it was only when I got to there that I said, oh, I haven't rolled up any of the enemies. Okay, cool. So there's a lot of... impromptu character building. Yeah, it was fun. Like, I enjoyed the challenge of it. I don't know if I could do it for a full campaign, though, because it's a lot of work having to plan for what these fuckos are going to do. Because they kept doing weird shit. And I was like, no, this isn't planned for. I have to make up stuff. Why are you making me be creative? I hate it. And then I like set them on fire or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It was good times.
There's actually, they released the like a heist, D&D heist mode.
Yes, the dragon heist or something.
Yeah, which hopefully we're going to be playing in my group soon.
Nice. Yeah, that actually looks like, just from the title alone, it's pretty fucking wicked. Yeah, so I might do it again for another one shot down the track. Hopefully by then I'll actually know how the rules work in D&D. Because our existing DM was pretty much, he was playing in the campaign, and I had to keep turning him to saying, so roll me a perception check. And he's like, yeah, perception works. I was like, okay, cool. yeah. Also, coming up with character voices is difficult. And I kept forgetting what they were.
We're playing in a land where everyone is cloned and they all speak the same. It's fine.
That helps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think one NPC started off Irish, shifted to Scottish, then went Cockney for a minute.
I mean, that's not offensive at all.
No. And then they left and came back to him, and I'd forgotten the accent entirely, so he was just like me, but squeakier. And then they left, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, pretend all that sounded Scottish or Irish or something. I don't know, whatever. Yeah, that's all I've been playing. And just watching lots of TV.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which I'm catching up on because I heard some of the songs in the latter half of season 3 were really good. Yeah, it's dark. It covers, like, serious mental health issues and suicide in a very frank way. Yeah, didn't know that was coming, so I'm kind of glad because it really, like, hit hard. Like, it's not something I have personal familiarity with, but they presented it in a way that was very... I understand how the character got to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not a leap. Like, it's in a lot of movies where it's like, oh, I'm sad. Now I kill myself. No, she melts down over a period of episodes. And it's like, oh, you're not the hero of this story anymore. You're kind of being a monster. Yeah. I highly recommend it. Like, it sounds from the name like it's a show that would be terrible. Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. But it's surprisingly good. Who knew?
Hmm.
I also tried watching Riverdale again.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like 1.5 episodes in now, so I got through 3/4 of an episode. Go me.
Yeah, I don't think I'll go back to it.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of want to because there's like 3 seasons of it sitting there. And based on
the season's only short too.
I think so, yeah, like 10 episodes maybe.
I just kind of had it on and it was, I was just watching episode after episode. I'm like, this is a train wreck. And yet I'm still like watching this bullshit train wreck. It was equal parts awesome and stupid at the same time.
Yeah, I saw a trailer for the 3rd season and there's like a masked killer.
How many people are going to be fucking killed in that town?
Yeah, it's Riverdale, it's Archie, it's meant to be like...
I will rewatch it if it turns out that Sabrina was behind it the whole time.
Yes.
I'll be all over that shit.
Yes, it would be nice if they connected it though. It sounds like they're not going to, but whatever.
Yeah. And speaking of like awesome and terrible, apparently the Venom movie sucks. But everyone loves it.
Okay.
It's made $1 billion. Well, not like a bajillion, but it's made like an amount that Sony's going to go, oh, no, this is good. And Amy Pascal's going to go, look, I did a good job. And everyone's just shaking their head going,
no.
You did not do a good job. Tom Hardy did a good job.
Yeah. Well, he did play 2 characters.
Just stop Amy Pascal and Ari Arad. Arad, is that?
Avi Arad?
Avi Arad, yeah. It's like, just stop. You two. Just quit your shit. Get out.
I haven't seen it yet, but minor spoiler, apparently there's a romantic moment between Eddie and Venom.
Yeah, there's like a weird thing that, of course, the internet's run away with. And
they kiss or something?
Yeah, there's like some sort of weird like thing that goes on.
Which I think is interesting because that's definitely the vein that the Venom comics have been going in at the moment. Like he refers to Venom as my love. Like it's very much
becomes like a weird, like insidious, like relationship between the two of them.
Yeah, it's a symbiotic relationship. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I still need to see it at some point. I know what the after credit scenes are because I was kind of like, I'm not invested in this movie, so I'm not worried about spoilers.
Who cares about spoilers? Like, they're gearing up for Carnage.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Which could be fun. Like, there's a whole lot of good Venom content out there. Like that and the five kids he had that were all differently weird and yet somehow all still look like Spider-Man. Weird.
Everyone wants to be Spider-Man.
Everybody wants to be Spider-Man.
I mean, you gotta remember, this is in the Spider-Man universe, but with no Spider-Man.
Not really.
Yeah. Yeah. It's in Amy Pascal's brain. It's part of the MCU.
It's
fucking ways that we'll never understand.
The Spider-Man minus Spider-Man universe.
Yeah. Basically, yeah. It's like, you know that one place that you never popped up? That's us.
Yeah.
Except for when they, like, Tom Holland's contract ends up. Like finishes up with Marvel and
I'm here.
Yeah, it's like that. Look, time. Yeah,
yeah.
Hopefully, the Sony bosses just be like, "Look, you know, you got to stop. Give it all. We're going to give all Spider-Man back to Marvel. They can make our money for us. We'll do nothing. It takes no effort on our part. They'll make us a boatload of money, and they can have their characters."
Exactly, and no more of this split nonsense where they can mention some things but not others. Oh, it's a nightmare.
Just give them all of Spider-Man back and say, look, they're just going to make our money for us now. Just go.
Just learn to share, Jesus.
Make Spidey the center of the MCU for the upcoming phases like Iron Man was for Phase 1 and 2.
Mm. Exactly. Well, do you know what phase of the podcast it is?
Zero.
The end phase. Because it's over. Because that's all we had to talk about. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in to The Indoorsman, your podcast guide to the great indoors. We will make more episodes. How's that for a promise?
Don't go promising people these things.
We will make more episode. How's that? With PAX coming up, don't know if we'll be able to record on site. I obviously have all my equipment here in Melbourne, but how are we going to make that work for both of us?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. I think we'll just record directly after PAX. I think it'll be the best one. We'll do a recap.
That's always math. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Aftermath? I didn't realize we were going that hard at PAX. Aftermath?
I said aftermath.
I know, I'm making a funny joke. Ha ha ha. Anyway, say your thing.
I mean, I don't want to now.
Just thinking about that good meth.
Right, so if you like our opening and closing music, it's Fuck Side Chain Compression on Game Boy by Rocco W, and you can find it on Bandcamp and a bunch of all other places on the internets.
Yes. You can also find us at indoorsmanpodcast.com or The Indoorsman on Facebook, at IndoorsmanPod on Twitter, and on Instagram, at IndoorsmanPod, which I still haven't updated. So, you know, just enjoy the nostalgia from episodes like 10 episodes ago.
Look into yesteryear.
Mm.
If you want to get in contact with us directly, you can tweet at Cliff and Monkey for myself, that I'm not going to answer, and at Ponk for Matt, he will answer.
Probably.
And if you want to email us something maybe a bit longer or not as... I'm sure Twitter has some sort of private thing, but if you want to like actually send us something like directly, it's a bit more private and stuff, you can email us at contact@indoorsmanpodcast.com.
Correct. As always... Like, subscribe, rate, review, all the good things to tell us how you feel about us, because it helps us have an opinion of ourselves.
We don't think we need anything more in that department. We're already pretty awesome.
I mean, yeah, but it's always nice to be told that you're awesome.
That's true. But for now, he's been Matt.
And he's been Cliff. And by endorsement tradition, we will send you off, as always, by saying...
Australia's doing very well in the cricket at the moment.
Not that. Look up a video called Skibidi on YouTube. It's a song by Little Big. It's weird. And I haven't been able to get it out of my head.
I fucking love Little Big. Because they are like a weird like techno version of D'Antwoord. But like a Russian version. And like, all the... Some songs of note as well are Big Dick. Hilarious. Mm-hmm. But actually, you got to watch the video clips. Don't just listen to the music. Watch
100%, clips. Yeah.
And Hateful Love.
Yes. Yeah. And add Little Big's skibbity to that because,
yeah.
Oh boy. And that's the end of the show. Bye.
You're going to see some shit if you look at those videos.
Mm-hmm.
Be prepared.
Mm-hmm. End of podcast.
And stop.